And thank you, Tessa. And you can hear our Wheaton Show every weekday morning at about this time, 8:40-ish or so, on KMRS. It's 8:43 right now. It's time for our Community Connection conversation. Rebecca Young is the administrator for Stevens County. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. We just had a chance to meet like 3 minutes ago.
Right.
So tell me a little bit about yourself, if you would.
Sure.
Your background and how long you've been doing what you've been doing.
Sure. So I'm coming up on 10 years of service here to Stevens County in November of 24 here. I started in 2014. Prior to that, I have kind of a non-traditional entry into public service. I have an undergrad in construction management and a master's in business. I worked in construction industry for over 12 years. I taught at Minnesota State Moorhead for a while in construction management.
I went to school there.
Did you? That's a good school.
But it was called Moorhead State.
That's what I call it all the time.
A long time ago.
Yeah. So alumni, plus I got the privilege of teaching there too for a few years. And both my husband and I were in construction industries. And when we relocated to Morris, it was really a change for our family. And this position came open and I thought, well, I have scheduling, budgeting, and contract experience, so it'd be pretty applicable. And the board took a chance on me 10 years ago and our family's still here. The first year we lived here, my oldest was starting kindergarten. Now he started his senior year yesterday.
My gosh. So that means you've been here a while.
It does. Yes. Yeah.
Originally from
Fergus Falls.
From Fergus. An
yep.
Otter.
A Fergus An Otter.
Falls
yes.
Otter. All
yep.
right. What construction management and doing administrative work for a county, they're completely different. How did you make that transition?
Right. So it was really interesting. You know, like the contracts and projects and scheduling that and the personnel management. I wore a lot of hats for the construction company. I did risk management. I did HR. I did project management. So those were kind of all in my background. I would say the biggest transition difficulty was learning the public statute and then realizing how slow government goes compared to private industry sometimes, which can be frustrating. And that was probably the biggest bit of advice the commissioners gave me when I first started is, slow down. Things don't move that fast in government.
For
so,
sure. What does the administrator do? What are your primary responsibilities?
Sure. So I primarily work for the board, right? So clerk the board meetings and do those sorts of things. But I have oversight of department heads as well as my primary goal is to put together the budget. You know, as we kind of move out of budgeting season, we move into legislative season. So I do a lot of advocacy and serve on some state boards. The commissioners all also serve on a lot of committees too throughout the state. They hold between 8 and 10, 12 assignments. So, you know, advocacy for county issues, oversight of county departments, and then oversight of the budget.
The county commission meets twice a month.
Correct.
Is that right?
Yep.
Okay.
The first and third Tuesday of every month at 9 a.m.
So you had a meeting yesterday.
Correct.
Tell me about yesterday's meeting and talking points. What was on the agenda that you'd like to get the word out on?
Sure. So yesterday was, you know, we always have those normal business items where we review bills. You know, we do some new hires and things like that. Some of the other things that we were dealing with yesterday, the county engineer Todd Larson was present and he approved an updated 5-year plan. So talking about what types of road projects strategically that they're working on and for construction purposes in the next 5 years. That's always published to our website. Folks can go out there and take a look at it. Right now we're working on County State Aid Highway 18 up northwest of Donley. They're doing a grade widening and then they're going to do a reclamation and a new road. He was fortunate enough to get some carbon reduction funding on that project and there may be some additional monies for that. So they're talking a little bit about when that paving will likely happen. We were thinking maybe next year, that might be a 2026, so that folks should go out there and kind of make themselves aware of that. We're also working on, we approved an RFP or request for proposal for a bridge replacement that would be on the Mill Dam Road going out east of town. That bridge is a timber bridge. It needs to be replaced by an upgraded structure, and then there's some paving around that bridge too as well that'll get done out to the east of there to the county line. So those are really big important projects. Those are main traffic, kind of some main traffic routes for folks. The other thing that the highway was working on a little bit, and he talked about this, is we've done kind of a strategic graveling. So we do maintenance graveling every year on county roads, and that's really just to keep things status quo. But the board and the engineering department have worked in the last couple of years to do a full width and a couple of inches of gravel and to kind of rebuild and reshape some of these roads. So we're talking a little bit about that. That work's done for the year, but we're trying to work on getting some stockpile of gravel also back kind of backfill our depleted reserves. So he had a really good update that's always on the YouTube, so folks can go out and watch that if they want to hear that word for word. But really, so that five-year road plan did get approved. And then we talked a little bit about that bridge design, and that did get approved. So WSN will be working on a bridge design for that replacement here in the next couple of years. The other thing we had this time of year is budgeting season. So the board approves our budget, but they also approve and certify a levy for the Housing and Redevelopment, or HRA. So Jessica Kerwin was there, talked a little bit about their levy certification process. She had a couple of board members there. Earlier in August, she had gave the board a report about what kind of activities they're doing and programming and the monies that they bring into Stevens County. But yesterday the request was for a levy increase of just their normal operations, about $24,000. But then she did ask to do a special tax of $124,000, and that is to put into a housing fund to try to expand workforce or market rate housing. That's been a hot topic across the state. A lot of the grants that are available you can't apply for unless you have money to leverage those grants. And so that's really the intent, is to have a match or some leverage against those grant monies through Minnesota Housing. So that did get approved. There was quite an extended discussion on that. Again, if you want a full recap of that, go out to the YouTube channel and watch that. But that did get approved and certified. So that will be going forward next year. And the board packet, which is scanned in and part of our materials too, there'll be an example of what that'll cost different properties in terms of impact. So the county certifies our levy at the end of the month. We'll certify it at the second meeting of the 17th. I had quite a few items too. Some of it was just normal business, setting some work sessions. Our normal meetings are that first and third, but we do have a variety of other work sessions. Probably the biggest thing that we ended the meeting with was a draft of the cannabis ordinance. We've been talking about this every meeting for the last four meetings. This is a major new ordinance for the county. You know, I reported on some of the perspectives of some of the local government units. We're working to get a final draft to them on the 17th so that they can set public hearings in October. Legalized sales start on January 1st of 2025, although we're told from Office of Cannabis Management that'll likely be the second quarter, so March 1st. But we want that ordinance in place so that when folks start looking at places for business, that they know that what they have the rules to engage by and stuff. So we talked a lot about that. At the end of the meeting, we did kind of end that conversation. We already had a pre-planned work session to kind of recap the budget. And we went right into work session after my items. And the big thing from the budget is we're looking at a 2.5% preliminary levy certification. There's kind of a few unknowns coming into the fall with union negotiations and things like that. We got a really good health insurance renewal number. It's between 3.5% and 5.5%. So that's very manageable for our staff. But, you know, those negotiations are a big outstanding piece. And then there's just some other things that we're kind of waiting for quotes on and things like that. So 2.5 will be the max that the levy would go up next year. And then from October to December, we'll work on getting that number fine-tuned and then set the final number at the second meeting in December.
I wanted to ask you about the cannabis discussion. That's interesting. So it's going to be legalized, and you're talking about a start date March 1 of 2025. But when you're talking about a cannabis policy at the local level, what are some of the decisions that have to be made in terms of, you know, where it can or can't be sold, if it's, you know, adjacent to a school or a daycare or something?
Yes, I mean, you're hitting on all the points.
Is that what we're talking about
here? We're talking about time, manner of sales. So zoning, we have to figure out what zones we're going to allow it in, either as a permitted use or as a conditional use. Setbacks as allowed under statute from schools, child cares, and public parks where minors are likely to be present. So it's 1,000 feet for schools, 500 feet maximum for the other two. So we looked at maps yesterday that had the maximum allowed under statute and then half the maximum. You can put zero setback on in all those districts if you want to. Hours of operation. Right now, the draft ordinance has 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. That's the most restrictive, 7 days a week. if you want to be the most permissive, you'd have different operating hours as you move into Sundays. And the board felt it was more manageable to be 10 to 9, 7 days a week. So that's the draft right now. And then we've looked at a lot of other ordinances. So the process that the county plays in this is licensing is done at the state. Most of the compliance is done at the state. Local registration is done at the county level or the local government level if they choose to not delegate registration authority. So we've got a pretty good survey from our local government units, and it sounds like in most part, most folks are looking to delegate registration authority to the county. And then there's the zoning piece of it. So where, when, and then what other restrictions? Now, we looked at some of the ordinances that like City of St. Paul and some of these larger communities have passed already. They're even going so far to specify like closed caption TV and things like that through their ordinance because the rules don't exist yet from OCM. So sure. Their reasoning was is they're going to be more restrictive in their ordinance until OCM gets the rules figured out.
Visiting with Rebecca Young, Administrator Stevens County Government here on Community Connection on KMRS. Rebecca, in the community, I just came from Watertown, South Dakota. There in the state of South Dakota, there is legalized medicinal marijuana, not recreational yet. And I remember covering at the city council level in Watertown on the topic of medicinal marijuana, there was a lot of conversation about do we place a cap on the number of dispensaries?
Yeah.
And what would the licensing fees be? Correct. So is that something that your county's
also
talking about?
Yep. So medicinal has been legalized in Minnesota for a while. They do have some kind of different parameters now as it comes all under OCM. They have a different licensing fee structure and a different registration fee. So all the businesses, there's 13 different license types, will pay that to the state. Then they'll all pay a local registration fee under the current draft of the ordinance. Medicinal has a much less reduced amount that they pay because they have a different purpose. And so they have to carry a different license type for that too. So that is part of the conversation. So under state law in Minnesota, under the last legislative revision, every county has to allow one per 12,500. They have to at least allow that. So it's a little bit kind of reverse of what we see some of the statute drafted as. So if you have one, you don't have to do any more, but you have to have your cap listed in your ordinance if you want to cap it. So there's a lot of discussion around the cap. Originally the board kind of had the position we're just going to do one, but then the more we talked about it, we talked about kind of making a kingmaker, right? Like you're creating a monopoly if you allow only one. So there's been this discussion anywhere from 2 to 6 kind of is where the board's kind of mentioned. You know, I kind of gave staff recommendations yesterday, 2 to 4 with an average of 3. The board, a couple of the commissioners mentioned maybe 5 or 6. One of the commissioner members mentioned 2 to 3. So they do need to make a decision, and I think that's one of the toughest ones that you'll see local governments make is what's the right size for
right,
our community.
Yeah. And one size doesn't fit all, you know, depending on what county you're at and how populous it is and things like that. Wanted to go back and touch on one other thing quick, Rebecca. You mentioned that the county board yesterday approved your 5-year road improvement plan.
Yes.
One of the things that I've learned in covering news over the years, especially in this part of the country where we see weather extremes, weather can be hard on roads, and it's road maintenance and repair. It's never ending, and it's expensive, isn't it?
It is expensive. We, we rely on, when I say county state aid monies, we get money for maintenance and we also get money for construction. And so that's a portion of what pays for our road repair. Some projects have federal dollars attached to them. And then ultimately some of it is just the local levy dollars. So when he talks about the 5-year road plan, he's trying to balance all of those funding sources to try to keep that levy predictable every year in terms of road maintenance. And it's really a puzzle as you're fitting all these pieces together. Like you mentioned, maintenance is never ending with our winter weather. As you're doing plowing operations, you do damage to both tar and gravel and things like that inadvertently just by the process of maintenance and keeping those roads open. So Todd had a really good report on how those pieces kind of fit together. He had the whole spreadsheet of the funding sources out 5 years so folks can see. But when that bridge comes, that's a really expensive job followed up by quite a few miles of pavement the next year. So trying to make sure we have enough federal or maybe bonding dollars to pay for some of those projects is really important. So, you're right. It's fitting those puzzle pieces together and trying to keep the levy predictable so taxpayers aren't seeing a huge spike in their property taxes.
Good to meet you. Let's do it again in 2 weeks.
That sounds good, Mike. Right, yeah, it was great to meet you.
Good to meet you, too. That is Rebecca Young, Administrator, Stevens County Government, with us on our Community Connection segment here on KMRS. Thanks for tuning in this morning. We'll get a news update from ABC coming up next.